This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. Ask any reporter, and they will tell you, accessing government data can be extremely difficult. Simply finding the right reports is the first part of the battle. Then there's the daunting task of parsing through the data and then making sense of it. That's what makes the Wisconsin Policy Forum's new Muni tool so helpful. The tool compiles data from municipalities throughout Wisconsin, allowing users to compare and contrast spending across different metrics. Jason Stein is the research director for the forum, and Ari Brown is a data and research analyst who worked on the Muni tool. They spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and Stein starts by describing what the tool does.
It brings together for cities and villages of the state key information about their spending and property taxes and some other pieces of data such as state aid and income and population in the community. And this year we're making available free over the internet and for all 601 cities and villages in the state. And we hope that with a couple caveats that we can talk about, people will use it and get benefit from it.
You know, you talked about the type of data that is included in the tool, of course, where it comes from. But what can we learn from this information?
So let me start out. Let me just give you one caveat. So one thing that the tool lets you do, it lets you look at a municipality's trends, a city or village trends over 5 years. It also lets you compare a city or village to all the other municipalities in the county or to 9 other communities up to that you pick. And one bit of caution in comparing communities, this tool is accurately reporting what the municipality reported to the state. Now, in some cases, if you look at like police spending, you know, one municipality may include their capital spending on a new police station on the line item for operating spending for police, and another community might not. And that might make the spending for the one community look a lot larger than the other, even though in reality they're quite similar. So that's just one little bit of caveat. When you look at the tool, we have a page that tells you about the tool and gives you all those warnings. That being said, again, this is something where you can see for an individual municipality or for all the cities and villages of the state as a whole, trends about, you know, what's happening with their property taxes, what's happening with their spending on police or on streets, on fire and rescue, trends like that that we hope will be of interest to people.
I will say I was pretty surprised when I was looking at Milwaukee County. Spending per capita in some of the sections for Milwaukee seemed relatively low, especially compared to some of the smaller areas around us.
Yeah. So one of the key findings that we had this year was that from 2016 to 2017, we actually saw a lot of the municipal spending numbers either stay very similar or decrease. Of the 6 kind of main spending areas that we looked at, the only one actually that increased at all was police spending. There's obviously a lot of reasons that this could be happening, but we did think it was interesting that this wasn't just a trend in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, but statewide communities didn't really increase their municipal spending much from 2016 to 2017. And when they did, it was usually related to police.
Right. And so that may reflect in part, the state has put limits on property tax increases, as well as the main form of state aid called shared revenue has been flat in recent years. So some of that lack of growth in spending may reflect, you know, some of the financial challenges that municipalities have, and the increase in police spending may reflect them targeting public safety as their first area of concern for the revenues that they do have.
So, you know, moving back to a number of the key findings, you sorted things by, you know, what's risen, what stayed the same, and what declined. So let's look at what rose over the past, well, not the past 5 years, but the 5 years from 2013 to 2017.
Sure.
Yeah. One of the things that we note really early on, population and income, I think those are things you'd probably expect. You'd expect, you know, as people move into Wisconsin, as people are having children, the population is going to increase, as is income. We're in a pretty healthy economy right now. We also saw some other things, debt being one of them, as, you know, municipalities have kind of been limited by just being able to increase their property taxes by the rate of net new construction, and some of those shared revenue numbers have kind of stagnated a little bit. Cities might be taking on a little bit more debt in order to build out some of their capital projects. They're kind of finding debt as one route that they might take in order to be able to spend a little bit more. So those were some of the big kind of key findings that we saw for things that rose.
Yeah, property taxes were also up. The overall levy was up about 2%, as well as the sort of property tax per capita. One other reason why debt might be rising faster than the rate of inflation is that the state puts limits on how much municipalities can increase their property taxes each year, and it's linked to the amount of new construction in the community. But one exception is if you have increased debt payments, your community can increase the property tax levy to cover those debt payments. So that may be providing this incentive to local leaders to use debt to pay for things that they might have just paid for in cash in the past, and then increase their property taxes in future years to cover the payments on that debt.
Okay. You mentioned, of course, that incomes have risen. How does that compare to the rest of the country?
So, you know, as we've kind of, you know, been coming out of a recession, that I believe is something that you've kind of seen echoed. It is kind of different in different parts of the state. One of the things that we noticed was Dane County, specifically the Madison suburbs, are really increasing in both income and population as people tend to move in. And there's new kind of industries and new business here.
I was actually surprised. You know, you said the population growth may not have been surprising. I was pretty surprised by that because I remember looking at data from 2000 to 2010, and we were looking at sharp declines in a number of large cities throughout the state.
Sure. And obviously, in like the city of Milwaukee has had this issue with fairly slow population growth or even decreases in certain periods. We are seeing at the state as a whole some modest growth in population. You know, that said, if you were to compare us to even a fast growing metro area like the, you know, some of the Dane County municipalities, if you compared them to, you know, some places in the southern part of the country like Austin or someplace mm-hmm. like that, while the state is seeing some modest growth, there are obviously going to be places in the Southwest and other parts of the country that are going to see much more substantial population growth.
Yeah. And within the state too, it is really being driven by just a kind of a couple pockets, Dane County being the big one. We found that between 2013 and 2017, 7 of the 10 fastest growing communities in the state were in Dane County. Another area that's kind of been growing in population is the Fox Valley and near Green Bay and Appleton, and then some of the area near like La Crosse and Eau Claire. But yeah, Milwaukee actually has lost population in the same time span. And we found that of the 10 largest cities in Wisconsin, only 6 grew from 2013 to 2017, which is not necessarily a trend that you would see in other places around the country.
So going back to, you know, what's risen, what's stayed the same, what's declined?
So we did see, you know, a couple spending categories decline. I know that, you know, street maintenance is one of those things that we've kind of seen decline. As Jason mentioned previously, you know, there's kind of been the number one priority has been police spending, which is something that we've seen. But, you know, other things are going to have to kind of fall to the wayside. And we looked at how street maintenance might be one of them. One of the really interesting things that we found that declined was property tax rates. So even though property taxes in general are increasing, property values actually tend to be increasing at a faster rate, which means the rate that people are actually paying is decreasing because the values are rising higher than the taxes. So while people, you know, might feel that they're paying a little bit more in property taxes, the actual rate that they're paying has dropped. Actually, we saw a pretty steep drop at the state levels from $7.69 per $1,000 of property value to $7.52, so a 17-cent drop per $1,000 in property value from 2017 to 2018.
And again, that would be for cities and villages,
right,
as opposed to all the other entities that are going to show up on your December property tax bill.
Okay. I also noticed there was a decline in the funding going to street maintenance. This was a huge issue in, of course, the last election. Now, we're looking at data that predates this most recent election, but the issues on our roads have been building for a while. How much did that spending decrease?
So the spending per capita dropped $2. So the spending per capita in 2017 was $115. That was down $2 per capita from 2016 and down $5 from 2013. Several things have been happening here. We've sort of talked about the overall, the biggest sources of revenues for local governments. Also, the state has had pressure on its overall transportation fund that it uses to pay transportation aids to local governments. Now, there have been some increases in transportation aid to local governments in the state budget in recent years, and so that may help to boost some street spending. You know, we'll see when we start to get, you know, the 2018 and 2019 data over the next couple of years. But again, those numbers do speak to the concern that you see in public debate, you know, in the governor's race last year and in the state budget, you know, throughout 2019 about, you know, is there enough being done at the state and local level to provide funding to keep up with the needs of streets and, you know, at the state level, highways?
Yeah. You know, if you're somebody who is interested or concerned about how spending is either rising or declining in your area, what are your tips for using this Muni tool for people who, like me, are not statisticians, who may be a little confused by some of the jargon? What are your tips?
I think in general, the thing to think about the Municipal Facts tool is as a starting place for understanding what's happening with taxes and spending in your community, as opposed to an ending place. Because again, the tool can't be better than the data that is actually reported to the state. And so in some cases, you know, if you find some trend that looks interesting or seems wrong to you, you know, maybe that can provoke a discussion with your alderperson or with city officials or with other groups in your community about what is actually happening. And sometimes it's more complicated than just you know, a few simple data points can show.
Yeah, I think Jason hit the nail on the head. It really is all about just this tool being a starting point. We wanted to provide this tool in a way that was more accessible to both municipal leaders, but also just the average Wisconsin citizen who wants to know more about the place that they live. In the past, we've kind of presented this data in a book format, but we wanted to kind of change that up this year and make the data more accessible. So I think, yeah, Jason put it perfectly. We really see this tool as a starting point, something that you can kind of start to investigate some trends, but continue to do some digging if you're interested about a specific kind of metric or data point. The other thing I would say about this is that I think the graphs and the charts are, you know, very flashy, but it's worth reading some of the key findings that we have here too, as well as the explanations that come along on each page. There's some really great information on there just about, you know, how to read what's kind of going on. If you might not be as familiar with the data, some important cautions, some things that, you know, some limitations that we have with this data.
One example was if you compared Milwaukee and Madison, you could find that, you know, in terms of property tax rates would be higher in Madison. And you might think, oh, maybe that means that they're spending more. And you may compare spending in some category and it may be closer. And you may ask yourself, oh, what's going on there? And then you may compare their shared revenue or their main form of discretionary state aid. And you might find, okay, oh, that's interesting. You know, Milwaukee is actually getting more in that area. And that has to do with sort of historical reasons about how the state distributed that aid. And so then you start to get a little bit better picture about, okay, this is how all this is working to sort of dictate, you know, what happens in my community on things like, what do we have for police services? What do we have for street services? Maybe street services isn't a good example, but, you know, other fire and EMS and things like that.
So if you're taking it piece by piece, you might not be getting quite the right picture, but if you compare data across a number of fields, you're going to get a clearer idea of what's going on.
Yeah, I think that's true. Even if you're only interested in your property taxes, or for whatever reason, you're only interested in fire and EMS services in your community. But the reality is that all these things are interconnected. Mm-hmm. You know, the property tax base that a community has, the state aid that it gets, you know, the needs that it has for some of these services, all those things end up mixing together to, you know, help determine the outcome for any particular thing that we care about in public life.
Yeah, and I think also one of the things we really wanted to build into this tool was the ability to compare municipalities to each other. Every main page in this tool has a button that you can click on that will let you compare every municipality in that county, as well as create a custom comparison of up to 10 municipalities to really kind of investigate, you know, how does my community stack up to the rest of my county, or how does my community stack up to municipalities across the state of Wisconsin that have similar population or similar income level? So that, I think, is another way that you can really get a lot out of this tool.
And that's a fun thing to do with the tool, to compare those. It does, I think, one, provide some insight right off the bat, and two, we hope it will just provoke conversations that will, over time, improve the governance and improve the life in the communities of our state.
Yeah. Well, Jason, Ari, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for giving us an opportunity.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Jason Stein is the research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and Ari Brown is a data and research analyst for the forum. They spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and you can find a link to the group's Muni tool at wuwm.com.